तबे से यवने रे अमित पुछिला, हिंदू हरि बले तार स्वभाव जानिला। दिस इज वर्स 200 या ऑन द बोर्ड या, सो आई विल रीड फ्रॉम 196 टू 199 एंड देन वी कैन रीड 200 टुगेदर। I then inquired from the Yavanas, I know that these Hindus by nature chant Hari Hari. Tumita Yavana Hana Kene Anukshana Hindura Devatara Namalaha Kikarana. The Hindus chant the name of Hari because that is the name of their God. But you are Muslim meat eaters. Why do you chant the name of the Hindu gods? Mlecha kahe Hindu re ami kari parihasa keha keha Krishna dasa keha Rama dasa. The meat eater replied, sometimes I joke with the Hindus. Some of them are called Krishna das and some of them are called Ram das. Keha Hari Dasa Sada Bale Hari Hari Janikara Ghare Dana Kari Beka Kari. Some of them are called Hari Das. They always chant Hari Hari. And thus I thought they would steal the riches from someone's house. Another meaning of Hari Hari is I'm stealing. And now we come to text 200. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Since that time, my tongue also always vibrates the sound Hari Hari. I have no desire to say it, but still my tongue says it. I do not know what to do. Purport. Sometimes demoniac non-believers, not understanding the potency of the holy name, make fun of the Vaishnavas when the Vaishnavas chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. This joking is also beneficial for such persons. Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto, 2nd chapter, verse 14, indicates that the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, even in joking, in the course of ordinary discussion, in indicating something extraneous or in negligence, is called Namabhas, which is the chanting that is almost on the transcendental stage. This Namabhas is better than Namaprad. Namabhas awakens the supreme remembrance of Lord Vishnu. When one remembers Lord Vishnu, he becomes free from material enjoyment. Thus, he gradually comes forward toward the transcendental service of the Lord and becomes eligible to chant the holy name of the Lord in transcendental position. Om Ajnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगतपते गोपेशा गोपिका कांता राधा कांता नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरंगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानु सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वांच कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौरभक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा. So this chapter is entitled The Pastime of Lord Chaitanya in His Youth. So that is the time between the age of 16 until Lord Chaitanya took sannyas, which is at the age of 25. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda Ji Ki Jai, Shri Shri Sita Ram Lakshman Ji Hanuman Ji Ki Jai, Shri Shri Gaur Nitai Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So this pastime is spoken. Who is speaking these words? Muslim. Muslim who? Ruler. Chand Qazi, yeah. So Chand Qazi. So what is the meaning of Chand? Moon, yeah. And why do they, Muslims, give so much importance to the moon? Because their God, who they call Allah, is, since the Babylonian civilization, is the moon god. We call moon god Soma. You know, they call Allah is the moon god. And also, the month, their most auspicious month of Ramadan, it starts with a day. They also follow the lunar calendar. So they follow that, and that calendar tells them when Ramadan will start. And then they finish the Ramadan Vrat for them as when they sight the moon. You know? So therefore you see on most of the Muslim country flags there'll be that crescent moon. You know, and they'll have moons everywhere like that. So this person in authority, he's called Chand, which means moon, and Qazi. So, who's named a Qazi? What is the job of a Qazi? Qazi is a ruler, but a subordinate. He is not the ultimate ruler. Cases come to him, and he decides whether the cases are following religion or not, according to the Muslim law. Not according to the law of the land. We can see that they are speaking in India. And this is 500 years ago. So this is somewhere 1517. Or maybe 1500 even. So at that time, India was started being ruled by the Muslims since 1486. Even before then, but the records differ, different records. So we can see that Islam as it is started in 570 AD after the death of Christ. So it's a very recent religion, only 1450 years old. And yet, after just 1000 years, they've conquered India. So, you know, gives them a lot of power. India is not ruled by Hindus, even then, even though they number in the majority. So, yes, this Qazi, India is being ruled by Muslims, and this Qazi is a small authority in a state of Bengal. Today we find his Samadhi. If we go to our Mayapur temple, then we pass the Mayapur temple. Narasimha Tirtha Prabhu, he took us again. I had been there many times, but when you pass, you find his Samadhi on the left. And there's a tree there as well. That's where he got the benediction from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He got liberated by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this Chand Qazi is in authority. And then he's noticing that even the Muslims are calling Hari Hari. Now, another meaning as they take is, I am stealing. But we look at Hari Hari is the name of Krishna. And Krishna is famous for stealing everyone's hearts. So Krishna steals everyone's heart. So he is also Hari. So Hindus are calling Hari Hari. But the Muslims are copying him. So the Chand Qazi notices it and he asks them, why are you chanting Hari Hari? So they are saying that we are joking, because some of them are called Krishna Das, some of them are called Ram Das, some of them are called Hari Das. So in joking we are just following them. So we can see that the Chand Qazi wants to know everything, because he has stopped the Harinam Kirtan. He has stopped the Harinam Sankirtan. And then Lord Narasimha Dev comes in his dreams and he tells him, why have you stopped it? You should not stop it. So we can see that even the Hindus, they are going and complaining to the Chand Qazi. And these Hindus are usually the Kali worshippers that we see. If we go to Mayapur, if we go to Navdweep, especially during Durga Puja time, there are lots of pandals there. So they are worshipping Durga, demigoddess. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Kamastastir Ritya Jnana Bhajante Prapadyante Anya Devata. That those whose intelligence are stolen by desires or by the senses, they worship the demigods. Antavattu Phalam Tesham Tad Bhavati Alpamedhasa. Means one who has no intelligence or very less intelligence, who is foolish. They go for worship of the demigods, which grant limited and temporary fruits. And then Krishna also says that the fruits and the favors that these demigods are granting you, that is given by me alone. That the demigods can't give it to you without my permission. So they have to come to me. So ultimately, Krishna, gives, even though we approach the demigods. But the demigods can only give fruits that are limited and temporary. And what are we seeking? Are we seeking just limited? If someone says, okay, you can be happy for a day if you keep one vrat, will we be happy? No, we are looking for permanent happiness. We feel I and my family and my relatives and my community should eternally enjoy. So for that, there is no use going to the demigods, because they can't do it. It's limited and temporary. So therefore, the Srimad Bhagavatam says, Akama sarva kamo va moksha kama udharadi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. That whether you have no desires, you don't want anything, you have had enough, you're tired of this material life. Anyway I play the game, and no matter what I have, it seems as if I can't enjoy this world. I'm rich, I'm famous, I'm, beautiful, I'm followed by so many people. I'm a pop star, whatever it is. But still they are not happy. And then, you know, I am poor, I have nothing. I am working hard and struggling for existence. They are also not happy. So, but if they want the permanent fruits of happiness and everything, they can approach Krishna. That is what Krishna says. That is from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna also says in the Bhagavad Gita that te yesham tva antagatam papam jananam punya karmanam te dvanda moha nirmukta bhajante mam drudhavrata. But there is a qualification to approach Krishna. To approach Krishna and receive things. Therefore people go to the demigods. Because to the demigods you follow a vrata, they don't care about you, they give it to you immediately. Krishna says, quickly you get the fruits. But Krishna says, you purify yourself first. Because many a times, like this Islam, you know, if you see, if you read the Quran, the instructions in the Quran are very basic. You know, we are talking of no eating of meat and fish and eggs. They are allowed anything, you know, except for pig meat. Yeah, other anything they can have. They can gamble. Intoxication is prohibited. But if you see the statistics of the liquor imported by Muslim countries, you'll find out that definitely there's an anomaly there. And as for sex, there is no celibacy at all in the Abrahamic religions. Christianity, the priests are supposed to be celibate, but it is not being followed. You can see even some of the popes didn't follow it. Nor do the Jews. The Jews in Judaism, the wife can take the husband, you know, to court and for a divorce if he doesn't, you know, please her by sexual favors. So it is to that extent. And then in Islam, you can have four wives and then you can have sex slaves as well. And this is given by Muhammad, the Prophet Muhammad. So we can see that these faiths are in the mode of ignorance. Even though we call them literature in pursuance of the Vedic version. Because they still bring people to God. Yeah, Krishna wants that. Instead of being an atheist, it is better that you become God conscious in some way. Okay, you want to eat meat, fish and eggs, intoxication, gambling, and you want to have sex. Okay, that's okay, but still, you know, some sort of this thing. So these faiths are in those modes. And therefore, these people who are complaining to the Qazi, they are also in those modes. Indians who are worshipping Durga Kali, they are also in those modes. They are demigods worshippers. They are just worshipping Kali because they want something from her. So they are not interested in Kali, they are not interested in any religion, they are interested in the fruits. So they are going and complaining to the Qazi, who is another, you know, as we discussed, he represents a faith that is, looks like, they have no ideas of modes of material nature. But it seems as if a faith in the mode of ignorance, almost. So therefore, then they are complaining to the Qazi against Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that is understandable. Because as we know, that even practicing devotees like us, it is very difficult to understand the transcendental mode. Isn't it? The pure devotees, we don't understand them. Because they are on a different level. And these people not understanding them, they're getting envious. How come these guys, you know, they're singing, dancing, they're not eating meat, fish and eggs, no intoxication, no gambling, but still, you know, they're having more fun. And they're doing it day and night. How can they do that? You know? And because they don't have complete knowledge of the Shastras, you know, they're thinking, yeah, we have. Nowhere is it mentioned in the Shastras that, you know, one can sing and dance and chant the name of Lord Hari. But, you know, Srimad Bhagavatam clearly says, Yajanti hi sumedasa. That in this age, the intelligent people, they will take to the chanting of the holy name, which is propagated by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yeah? Who comes in a color that is different to Lord Sri Krishna. So that is a clear indication of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But they don't know. Because even today we see there are problems in India. In India, the present current government, His Holiness Bhakti Rasayan Swami Maharaj, he gave a class and he was saying that he has contacts in India, he visits India often. And he was saying that the current Indian government wants to stop cow killing. But the people who are objecting it is some of the Muslim committees are there. They agree, some of them agree. But the Hindus are the ones who are objecting to it. They are creating riots. Because they don't know their own religion. You know. They think that, Hinduism means just being pious, reading the Bhagavad Gita to get some piety, so that you can get religion will lead to economic development, you know, moksha, and some kama, pleasure. Dharma, artha, kama, moksha. That is what they are doing it for. So, Hindus don't know their own religion. So therefore here, they're going and complaining to the Qazi. So, Bhakti Rasayan Swami Maharaj was saying that it is so shocking. And now we know that if Krishna allowed the Muslims to rule India, you know, a land of huge population, and a land which before, through following real religion of the Srimad Bhagavatam, was immensely rich, that the foreigners all wanted to go there. In every way. The Japanese and the Chinese scholars, you know, they wanted to go there for learning. To find out. And they used to learn there and come back as scholars in their countries and preach. And India was immensely wealthy. Also. By following that. But they, at some point, the Brahminical culture collapsed. The Brahmanas who were supposed to live, you know, selflessly, you know, they started becoming selfish. And therefore they started to go for religion, economic development, sense gratification, and moksha, liberation, you know, freedom from this position of mind. And when the Brahmanas started doing that, the Kshatriya rulers fell down. Because they were not supported by the Brahminical culture. They were propped up by the Brahminical culture. Otherwise it just became ruling and enjoying. And when that became, they were defeated by the stronger armies of the Muslims. So it was in the 14th century that India lost its culture. 1486, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes to revive that culture. Before him, in the 11th century, Ramanujacharya, he came first to establish the Vaishnav culture. So Vaishnavism started from South India, especially Sri Rangam, where Ramanujacharya established it. So, and then Madhvacharya came. He is also from another South Indian state of Udupi. He established, you know, the Madhva Sampradaya. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he brought it all together. And we are known as Brahma Gaudiya Madhva Sampradaya. So Madhvacharya is also part of our Sampradaya. So, we can see that there's a, even though all these acharyas are coming in the 14th century, somehow there was a decline of religion totally. And so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes to establish the Yuga Dharma for this age. So, so here the Muslims, basically, the Muslim Qazi, he is trying to find out how he can defend himself, because Narasimha Dev has already come and he can't now but allow the Sankirtan movement to go on. And therefore he is in a quandary. He is thinking, what is to be done? What's the best way out? So therefore he is asking the Muslims, why are you chanting names? And the Muslims are feeling some pleasure, as it is mentioned in the purport by Prabhupada, that there are different levels of chanting. One is the Nama Prad stage, when we are committing offenses. Dhamma Prad, we go to dhams, or we are in the holy dham here, committing Dhamma Prad, committing a Prad to Vaishnavas, committing a Prad to the holy name, committing a Prad to the deities, committing a Prad in the way we live, the vows that we have taken, breaking them. That is the Nama Prad stage. So we can see that even though these Muslims, probably they are at that level, but still they are tasting. Otherwise, how could they are saying that our tongues, they can't stop chanting these names of Hari Hari. How is it possible? So the power of the holy name is so great that even it is called here Mlecha, and Yavan, they are at that stage. They can also taste it. While they don't know anything about the holy name, they haven't taken vows, they are not initiated into the holy name, yet they can taste it. And then the next stage, it is said here, is Nam Abhas. Abhas literally means, just a shadow. Getting a shadow of the holy name. So they were at Nam Abhas stage. They were getting a shadow reflection of the holy name. So we can see how merciful Lord Krishna is, that even though, they are breaking all regulative principles, but just because they chanted, Lord Krishna is giving them the abhas of the name, this reflection, not the real. So what to speak of the pure name, which is what Prabhupada wanted each and us to have, because he is giving us that name coming through the disciplic succession, and the spiritual master is connected to the disciplic succession, and the siksha gurus who train up for about 2 years at least in the UK to come to that stage where we can accept the holy name to chant 16 rounds. So all the whole process that Prabhupada made is to have us access this, Chintamani of the holy name. It is a touchstone to solve all problems of life. And we can see, people who joined Prabhupada, basically, you can't say they were devotees at that time. They were all hippies. They were all breaking regulative principles. They were actually also rebelling against society. And they came to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada accepted them wholeheartedly, like young children, accepted everything that they were doing, and still gave them the holy name. And they actually were attracted, A, to his personality, and secondly to his cooking. So those were the initial things, Imagine Prabhupada's cooking, a devotee, pure devotee. I mean, one day there was an incident where Prabhupada, had to cook because the devotees had forgotten. They didn't know that, you know, there was going to be a feast, breakfast feast in the afternoon. And, you know, ultimately Prabhupada cooked in a hurry because, you know, all the management, they were blaming each other, and Prabhupada just wanted to show them that, you know, this is not the way you do something. So he went to the kitchen, and within 2 hours or 1 hour, I think, he cooked up a variety of dishes. And all the devotees, when they sat, you know, to honor the prasadam, and the first bite that they took, everyone started looking at each other because they could feel that they were in touch with their soul. Because, you know, a pure devotee who was in touch with his soul and Krishna, you know, he was looking, living as a soul, not as his body. He was living just as a soul and experiencing the, you know, Satchidananda qualities of the soul in his service to Krishna. You know, he had infused the food. And, you know, we know that whoever cooks, they put their consciousness into the food. That's why we are asked not to eat food outside, cooked in restaurants and all. Because usually when people cook for money, you know, they cook for taste because they need the sales. They don't look at purity. Everything is on the basis of economy. So therefore, this pure, you know, devotee Srila Prabhupada, they were all shocked. And they could see that this is the power of, you know, food. So being attracted by that, they started following the regulator principles. And today they are all around still, 50 years later, you know. They are now doing what Prabhupada did, following Prabhupada. They are going all around the world, giving hope to the millions of us, like us, and becoming the anchor, so that they can pull us onto the ship, of which Prabhupada is the captain, which is crossing over the ocean of material suffering, the ocean of nations. Like that. So, we are indeed very fortunate, and just to, you know, put it in perspective, the holy name, of course, comes from the spiritual world. So it is in the spiritual world, everything is alive. You know, the plant, the flower, they speak to Krishna. They speak to each other, you know. So even in neutrality, in the Shantaras, you know, all the paraphernalia is speaking. They are all alive because they are all in the Satchidananda platform. And they are all desire trees. Whatever way, whichever way they want to serve Krishna, you know, they can just get those paraphernalia and serve Krishna. So, this is the highest language of the spiritual world. The Hare Krishna Mahamantra. This is what is creating the party in the spiritual world. We all want to have a party. And we do get attracted sometimes, you know, when even, you know, so-called, we call them karmis, but whoever has a party, you know, we also feel, you know, we should go there, have a party. But this, the party in the spiritual world is heard by this name of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. There are so many tunes. And we, which even kirtaniyas, when they sing, we get attracted by their singing so much. And so, it comes from the spiritual world. It's brought by Golokera Premana Dana Harinam Sankirtana. Who has brought it? Gaur Nitai. Where none other than Radha Krishna and Balram. So it has come from the purest of the pure source. And it is handed through the parampara in as it is state to us. In Kali Yuga, I mean, we can see the degradation going around everywhere. It is said in 2075, Islam will be the prominent religion of the planet. The mode of religion in the mode of ignorance is gaining prominence because you don't have to follow most of the regulator principles. And, you know, even moral principles are questionable with terrorism and everything. You know? So, as we see Kali Yuga unfolding, it is going to become very, very difficult. No matter how comfortable we make our lives and think we are comfortable in that, we will be shaken and stirred by Kali, by Maya, and Krishna will allow it. Because in Kali Yuga, no matter who is there in the material world, one might think, you know, how is this that, you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he comes, he's allowing the Muslims to rule. You change the rule, you put a Hindu king there and everything will, you know, happen okay. He can preach Harinam Sankirtan. But the thing is, this material world is ruled by the modes of material nature. And Krishna never interferes with the independence of the living entity to accept whatever mode he wants from material nature. If you want to be in mode of goodness, think, speak and act in that mode, you have the freedom. If you want to think, speak and act in the mode of passion, you have the freedom. I mean prominently. Usually all the modes are working simultaneously, you know. But prominently, one of the modes is prominent. And if we want to accept the mode of ignorance prominently, then that is also allowed. And consequently, everything that is going on in all the interactions that are going on, they are all going on under the modes. Consequently, they can only bring unhappiness and suffering. Therefore, Krishna says, Dukkhalayam Acharyam. You come back. Mam Upatteya Punarjanmanaiti. Don't take birth again in that miserable place. Because most of these people are working under the modes of material nature. They can't give happiness to themselves, nor they can't give happiness to others. And therefore, you know, mad chitta mad gata prana bodhayanta parasparam kathayantascha mam nityam tushyanti cha ramanti cha. If you really want to be happy, you know, and that happiness, you know, most of the people haven't even tasted. They can't even understand. Those in the modes can't understand the transcendental happiness. And therefore, we even as practitioners, you know, we practice sometimes and we get pulled by Maya Devi to enjoy the material happiness. Sooner or later. Because we take that happiness for granted. Yes, we have tasted that happiness on a, you know, bright day, some good day when we have chanted our rounds properly, you know, and we have done offenselessly some things. We have tasted that. But that soon goes away. It doesn't remain. And we are again busy in the modes. And again making our life comfortable, playing the game, keeping him happy because he can keep me happy, scratching his back because he can scratch my back. But Mahaprabhu is not allowing anyone to be comfortable. Muslim rule means you are uncomfortable. If Yavana is ruling and he is showing here, the first thing he did was, stop, your religion is out. You know, and that is what is going to come in 2075. If the Muslims are in the... Right now they are stopping. You know, if you go to Muslim countries, you can't follow Christianity or anything else. But they have ensured that you go to any airport in the world, their prayer room is there. Can you imagine the power? And it is coming from a faith that is in the mode of ignorance. So what to speak of us who have faith at least in the mode of goodness or passion or, you know, the transcendental faith. We have that, but it is not coming out in the right way. But yes, it being Kali Yuga, I mean, we won't have much of an impact anyway. Because we know, you know, in the history, Maharaj Parikshit tried to do it. He wanted to kill Kali. But Kali, you know, took shelter of Maharaj Parikshit. And a Kshatriya has to give shelter to the one who takes shelter of him. And so he had to give him the place, you live in gold, you know, and liquor houses and all this. And Kali immediately entered his golden crown and bemused him. And Maharaj Parikshit lost it. He committed offense against that, you know, Shamik Rishi. And Sringi cursed him. So even Krishna, you know, at that time, Kali has to come because people want it. The collective consciousness wants it. So devotees will have to work. Because even Parikshit Maharaj is removed. When he is not needed, when Kali Yuga has to spread. So therefore, you know, it's all about people choosing from the modes of goodness, passion and ignorance to coming to the mode of transcendence. And you know, as Krishna explains, unless you get the higher taste, you can't give up the lower taste. So therefore, it is very, very important for us to spread the chanting of the holy name and basically take shelter of the holy name. And who else but today also happens to be the disappearance day of Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur. He was also born in a Brahmin family. In a Muslim family. Yeah, he was a Muslim. Although, you know, coming, he was Brahma, combination of Brahma. He is Lord Brahma because he desired to be there in Gaur Leela. You know, he comes. But born in a compromised situation. So we can see that, you know, of course, you know, it is very easy for me to say, you know, yes, we should, you know, challenges are also good for us and all. And I'm also struggling and, you know, it is very difficult to face the challenges. But again and again, Krishna is showing that Pandavas had to suffer. Everyone had to suffer. You know, devotees also have to suffer. But the thing is, we have to follow, you know, the Yuga Dharma. If we don't do that, you know, then we'll have more problems. So, Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur, he came in Bengal and he, from his childhood, he was a scholar in Sanskrit and philosophy. Very brilliant. And he had a challenge from then on because he was more inclined to the Vedic religions. And therefore he was a scholar in Sanskrit. So, the Muslims got curious because they have madrasas, you know, people where they also teach kids, like we have Krishna Club. They have their own club. And they are thinking that this boy is going away a bit. There's something wrong with him. So he started facing that challenge right since the beginning. But he was somehow, he was so humble that he always never questioned authority. He was always subordinate so that he won't attract any attention, good or bad. Because either attention, the dualities of the material world in any way are bad. Whether it's good, you know, whether it's good or the bad, both attract the wrong attention. So he is to be in that state where he was totally humble. And therefore, he then came to meet Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he took to the process of Krishna consciousness. He was also initiated by Advaita Acharya Prabhu. And he then took to the holy name, chanting of the holy names. And because he had the history and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu blessed him to be the Namacharya, he just couldn't stop chanting. He chanted 300,000 names of the Lord every day. 100,000 loudly, 100,000 in a medium tone, and 100,000 silently. And he used to go along the banks of the Ganges, chanting loudly. And when the Qazi saw it, he captured him. And he told him that you are a Muslim. You are supposed to follow the Muslim Dharma. Why are you following the Hindu Dharma? That's not for you. So, because you are a very respectable person, because you are a scholar, I beg you to just give it up. The Qazi said that because he respected him. He knew there was no problem. This was one of the most, you know, prominent persons. So you just give up chanting and then we will release you. And Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur said, even if you cut me into pieces, the pieces will also start. As long as I have life in me, in them, the pieces will also will never stop chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And when the Qazi found that there was no compromise, they started, let them get whipped in 22 marketplaces. And Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur bore all that because he had the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Later on in the pastime, Lord Chaitanya explains to Haridas Thakur and reminds him. He says, do you know you were whipped in 22 marketplaces? And Lord Chaitanya shows his back. He says, I was the one who took all those whippings on my back so that you could continue showing your forgiveness to all those who were, you know, committing this crime against you. And after being whipped in 22 marketplaces, they took him for dead when he fell unconscious and threw him in the Ganges. But by the Lord's mercy, he came out from there. And the same Qazi and everyone saw him, and then they fell at his feet because they knew that, you know, they couldn't stop him. This was something, you know, unusual. Someone who is dead coming to life. They said, we can't do anything. So then it was Haridas Thakur who went to the home of the uncle of Raghunath Das Goswami, Hiranya Mujumdar and Govardhan Mujumdar. They were tax collectors. Their income in those days was 12 lakh gold coins per month. Even today, the price of gold, 12 lakh gold coin means, you know, they were billionaires many times over. So that was their wealth. And the only child in the family was this small boy, Raghunath Das. And he was also, he was married, he had a beautiful wife. But when he saw Haridas Thakur coming and preaching about Krishna consciousness, the uncles, you know, like Hindus usually do, there's a limit. You can preach to me this much, but not beyond this. So they took the teachings, but they said, you know, it's okay. We'll take your teachings, but to that limit, not beyond. But this little boy, Raghunath Das Goswami, he took it to heart. And so much so that he then, one day, even though his wife was there, beautiful wife, he just ran away to Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that was the effect of Srila Haridas Thakur's teaching. Just by attending, you know, his teachings, Raghunath Das Goswami was completely converted to a pure devotee. Lord Chaitanya, of course, said, you go back, finish your household, the duties. You can't leave, you know, your wife like that. And then you can come. Ultimately, of course, Raghunath Das Goswami left his wife anyway and took shelter of Nityananda, who blessed him like that. But Haridas Thakur then, you know, his preaching, he, with the help of Nityananda Prabhu, he preached widely in Bengal. And he made a lot of Bengalis into devotees. Of course, afterwards, it was all to turn into, you know, the 23 upper sampradayas where Krishna consciousness was lost. And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur had to revive it. Bhaktivinoda Thakur's, yesterday we celebrated his appearance day. So he revived it. So Haridas Thakur preached all over and he gave the holy name. And he was himself the example of the holy name. And then he shows how to leave the body. He decided, although he had the boon to die at will, like Bhishma Dev, he decided that now that Lord Chaitanya has decided to leave the planet, I'm not going to live here anymore. So one day, when Lord Chaitanya used to visit him, Haridas Thakur never went into the temple because he respected the Jagannath Puri Pandas, you know, that only the Hindus would, caste Hindus are allowed inside. So he used to pay obeisances from outside to the flag of Lord Jagannath. And Lord Chaitanya, who is Jai Krishna, Yai Krishna, Se Gaura, Se Jagannath, Lord Gaura, who is non-different from Jagannath and Krishna, he used to visit Haridas Thakur, thus giving him personal darshan and taking prasadam from the temple. One day when the Lord goes there, you know, he sees that Haridas Thakur is not his usual self. He is in a state of tiredness. And he asks him, "What's the matter, Haridas?" And Haridas says, "Oh Lord, I have contracted a disease." Lord Chaitanya asks, "What is the disease?" And he says, "The disease is, I can't finish my prescribed rounds, the 300,000 rounds that I vowed to chant." So Lord Chaitanya says, you know, at this stage and age of your life, it is not necessary for you to chant. Even if you don't chant at all, it'll be okay. But Haridas Thakur said, "No, oh Lord, that is my service to you. So I must do my prescribed rounds. And then I have a request." He says, "I want to leave this earthly pastime of yours before you leave your earthly pastimes. So please, you know, arrange that, because I want your feet on my chest, and I want to leave with me looking at your lotus face," like that. So one day, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you know, he came to Haridas Thakur, and Haridas Thakur knew. He came with all the devotees there. Haridas Thakur knew. He personally carried Haridas Thakur with his own hands, you know, and carried him to that place. We know, you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Haridas Thakur Samadhi is there, near our ISKCON temple, very much near our ISKCON temple, near the sea, which is there. That was this place. He carried him there. All the devotees started singing, dancing and chanting the holy name. It was so ecstatic, you know. He shows how to leave your body. It should be the holy dham. They were in the holy dham of Jagannath Puri. The Lord was there and the devotees were there. They were all chanting. And while they were chanting, then at one stage, Haridas Thakur, with the Lord's feet on his chest and with his eyes, with his spirit looking at Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet, he left the body. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally performed his last rites. And all the devotees, you know, then glorified Haridas Thakur and had a big feast. So today, you know, is a very, very, very special day. Like, you know, we are all looking for mercy. We are saying to him, "Please give me mercy, please give me mercy, please give me mercy." But, you know, can you imagine Haridas Thakur? You know, he gave mercy even to those who cursed him. You know, others who cursed Haridas Thakur, even to them he showed mercy. So what to speak of us, you know, practicing devotees who are struggling with our spiritual lives, you know. If we beg, you know, mercy from him through the Guru Parampara, through our Guru Parampara, because that is the bona fide, this thing, Haridas Thakur will definitely, you know, grant his mercy. And we will be able to see that, you know, that he will grant it. But then, you know, not taking it for granted, but remembering that whatever is coming by that mercy is important, you know, and it is coming through the Guru Parampara, like that. So today is the best day. We pray to Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur that please, you know, bless all the devotees in ISKCON and outside of ISKCON, whoever is chanting the holy name, with your mercy through the Guru Parampara. We pray to you through the Guru Parampara, that we get to chant the pure holy names. By your blessings, anything is possible, because you are the Namacharya. The holy name is your property. And, you know, Sri Nam Prabhu, who is Lord Chaitanya himself, has given you that right. So it is yours to grant, you know. So please, we beg you to grant us that we may chant the holy name and we may spread it to every town, village and country. Although it is, you know, spreading like wildfire everywhere, still it is needed. And so we can, our job is only one, that we take shelter of the holy name and we spread the holy name as much as we can. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Thirubhav Mahatsav Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Granthraj Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai.